Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is the round two recap for this week's Genesis Invitational. Joining me to break it all down, it is Greg Ducharme. What up, Greg?
Man, what a tournament so far. What a golf course. This week's always so much fun, Rick.
It's unbelievable. We've got casualties at the top of the betting board. We've got a guy trying to run away with it. There's the course is biting back. I mean, this is... We've had a pretty good stretch of like entertaining golf recently, Greg, and I feel like it's carrying over into this week.
Yeah, this is set up. It looks like it's a runaway right now, but you look at some of the guys that are behind Sam Burns up there. A great playing, Sam, and congratulations so far. But you look at the guys that are chasing him down, and this is one of those. It's like walking a tightrope across the Grand Canyon. You just don't look down. Don't look back, Sam. You got to run. You got to press on the gas pedal, and you got to try to run away, because if you turn around and look back, it's not a pretty sight. With DJ, Spieth, Koepka, Cantlay. I mean, these are heavy hitters behind you.
Greg congratulates Sam Burns on his 36-hole lead, making it sound like it ain't going to last, Sam. Congratulations.
Well, that's not what I mean. I'm just saying this is an accomplishment so far. Let's take it for what it is. But do you think it's going to last?
I don't think he's going to win by five, if that's what you think, if that's what you're asking. So the guy is 12 under par. He shoots 64-66 in the opening rounds of this event. Matches the lowest 36-hole total at Riviera, which has hosted this event 57 times and two major championships. So let's start with this. I mean, what course is Sam Burns playing? The guy has been absolutely lights out. He's going to be, we've got Joaquin Neiman still out on the course. He's going to be like four or five shots clear of anybody in the chase pack heading into the weekend, which Greg, I guess if you've been paying attention to the first cut, if you've been listening, like we talk a lot about Sam Burns and a lot about ceiling Sam Burns. So like this shouldn't be all that much of a surprise.
No, it's not a surprise. I mean, he's been, if you look at his recent finishes, they're not jaw dropping. They're not amazing. They don't necessarily represent how great his form has been, but this guy is hitting the ball extremely well. And that's evidence only by what he's done so far this week. I mean, he's first approaching the green, and he's first in putting, which is a really, really nice combination.
That's the recipe.
Second tee to green. Yeah, that's how it works. So, you know, in one case, you say, well, he's leading in strokes and putting. We never take that guy. But he is right. Also leading tee to green, or second tee to green. Sorry, DJ's leading tee to green. Like I said, Sam, don't look down. DJ's leading tee to green. But he's still leading approach the green. And if you watch him swing the golf club right now, there's a lot of confidence, and he's hitting real quality shots. So this does feel real. But there's a big hurdle for Sam Burns to jump, and it almost takes the stats out of it. This is not a statistical analysis. This is one question. Can Sam Burns handle the moments that are going to face him over the weekend?
And also, the weekend has been his bugaboo. So in round one scoring, he's 13th. In round two scoring, he's 9th. You flip the page to the weekend, round three, 167th. Round four, 144th. So this has not necessarily been an issue of whether he can play well on Thursday and Friday. It's been an issue of whether he can play well on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking yesterday when he's at seven. He shot 7 under yesterday, and I'm thinking it's a good thing today. It's a good thing it wasn't on last night, because my thought is this lead at 7 under is probably going to be. I don't think it's going to get stretched by Sunday by too much. That's what I'm thinking yesterday. 7 under is probably somewhere, maybe it gets to 9, maybe 10, tops, but I don't think the lead's going to stretch well past seven. So seven's a number you're not really paying too much attention to. And all of a sudden this morning, it's very quickly stretched to 12. And I'm saying, geez, it's a good thing we didn't talk about this last night. But now at the same time, are you feeling it all, Rick? Like the real lead is maybe seven still? Or it doesn't mean Sam Burns is out of it. It just means he's going to, I almost see this going one of two ways. He's going to completely run away and hide and make this a 8-shot lead going into Sunday tomorrow, or he's going to kind of fall back into the pack and we're going to see that scoring average shine through.
I will not disrespect Sam Burns and say the real lead is at 7 under, which is where the chase pack is. And it's where Dustin Johnson is at. But I will say the real lead's like 9.5 under, because there is regression coming. Like, yeah. I just can't imagine. I mean, is he just going to pull a Nate Lashley and run away with this thing by, you know, 5 or 6 shots? I highly doubt that.
Well, that's the thing. It's not necessarily disrespect, Rick. It's just, this is in his hands. And if he goes out, like if you're a chaser, if you're Brooks Koepka and you're sitting at 4 under par, you can't look at this like you're 8 shots back. You got to look at this like you're 3 shots back. And if he just runs away and all of a sudden he gets to 20, you know, some crazy number by the end of day tomorrow, he runs away. There's nothing you could do about that. But if he falls back, you have to make sure that you're putting yourself in position to take advantage of that. So if I'm a chaser, I'm looking at that lead at 7 under and I'm saying, well, Sam's going to do, he's either going to take this thing and take it out of my hands, or he's going to come back and allow me a chance to win.
Yeah. Producer Jacob aptly pointing out his final three holes on Friday, he started to get a little sprayy off the tee, but was able to hang on, keep the wheels on, play his final three at even par and get in at 12 under for the first 2 days. Tyler McCumber is way tougher than I am, Greg, because this guy slams his finger into like a door or a window in his hotel room, has emergency surgery from the on-site surgeon of the PGA Tour, has to cut the little nub of his finger off of his golf glove so that he can get his bandaged hands through there. And oh, by the way, he shoots 67, 68. He's 5 shots back. He's in second.
It's one of those bizarre things. Like Jacob and I were talking about this a little bit before the show off air. If you knew this information on Wednesday on the range and you had that inside info, you would fade him all day. Tyler McCumber to miss the cut, whoever he's playing in a matchup, you're going to bet against him. But in the game of golf, you have to beware of the injured, sick, emotional golfer.
Yeah, back against the wall, right?
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen. And sometimes it just distracts you from the moment. It distracts you from the opportunity you have to be playing in the Genesis Invitational. It distracts you from the fact that you're playing against Dustin Johnson and John Rahm and Rory McIlroy. It takes those names away and you're just trying to get through the round and survive. And sometimes it can bring out the best in you. He's extremely tough. I give him a ton of credit. But you know, Rick, you look at his statistics, he's sitting at third in strokes gained off the tee. And he, I believe, is also third tee to green. So we're kind of seeing what we thought would happen with the emphasis on driving. You look at the guys near the top of this leaderboard, and Tyler McCumber's driving it great. You also have Sam Burns, who's a great driver of the ball. Jason Kokrak, great driver of the ball. Dustin Johnson, Joaquin Niemann. These guys all right up near the top are great drivers of the ball. It's really playing through.
Speaking of Dustin D. Johnson, according to PGA Tour Live, you know, I didn't have to scroll very far, Greg. You know, this guy's always lurking. 7 under par. He shoots a 67 on Friday. I know Sam Burns is 5 shots clear. It doesn't feel like it. You know, Dustin Johnson is there. He's played the par fives 1 under in the week, which is like, he's going to do better than that on the weekend, right? I mean, this guy, we were just on HQ with, I was on HQ with Mark, and his B plus game, like his C plus game is better than so many of these guys on tour. It's kind of jarring and crazy how good he is.
Yeah. I was talking about this morning on the radio and basically saying he just has this solid foundation. Right there's a house, if you have a house with a really strong foundation and one area starts to break down and give you problems, it doesn't mean the whole house is coming down. You still have that strong foundation and you just repair the area that's giving you a problem, but you know, it's not going to hurt the integrity of the house. Where there are other players where if one thing goes, like, I don't even need to go there with an example, but there are players where they rely so heavily on one thing, perhaps a putter, where the putter all of a sudden putts stop going in and the whole house falls down. And now you got nothing to lean on. Well, DJ has his entire game to lean on. And it's kind of like Justin Rose in 2018 when he said, right now I can lean on any aspect of my game to bail me out of a situation. I can drive it great most days. My irons are in great form most days. My short game is as good as it's ever been, and I'm putting better than I ever have. And Dustin Johnson is a supercharged version of that. And that Justin Rose made it to world number one, and he was back and forth with Brooks, and he won a FedEx Cup. So this is extremely impressive out of DJ. And again, you know, another element that we talked about big time this weekend leading in is the importance of short game. And he is first for the week, strokes gained around the green, and he is first tee to green. So that's really playing through as well, Rick.
Yeah, he's not even driving it well. He's just right, not even, like, which is his best weapon, which is so scary. You know, Riviera has a way of leveling the playing field. It is able to bite back, and it bit a couple of big boys this week. Justin Thomas, going to miss the cut. Bryson DeChambeau is going to miss the cut. But maybe the most shocking of all, Rory McIlroy is going to miss the cut for the first time since the 2019 Open Championship. The longest active cut streak on the PGA Tour is now over. 25 consecutive PGA Tour events. I think it's 30 worldwide, Greg. So now Xander has the longest active cut streak. But Rory got Riviera this week. He just didn't have his good stuff. He didn't have anything. I mean, he was 5 over on Friday after shooting 2 over on Friday. He's outside the top 110 in a field of 120 golfers. That is a bizarro world when you look at where Rory McIlroy is usually at on a leaderboard.
Yeah, you're right, Rick. It really is. I mean, you see that he lost tee to green 2.5 strokes, right? 93rd strokes gained tee to green for Rory McIlroy. That doesn't happen. He just had a bad week. And before look, there's a lot to say about Rory at this point right now, but before we say any of that, there's a guy who has also struggled at Riviera mightily, and it's Tiger Woods in his career. So true. The golf course, just a little ode to the golf course. It's not an easy one and it can be challenging, but for Rory, I just feel this mounting pressure with him and the putter. And I just feel like it's putting, I mean, he lost 3 strokes on the greens today. He's lost 4.3 for the week. And I just feel like it's putting so much pressure on the rest of his game. Mm-hmm. And it's making that house, that foundation that's so strong with DJ. For Rory right now, the foundation's really weak and it's fragile. And I look squarely at the putter.
I like this house analogy. We should continue this. Yeah, it's got cracks in the foundation. It's got, yeah. Okay. Ben Coley on Twitter points out. So Rory's win rate, he wins about once over the course of his career, 1 out of every 12 events, which is kind of crazy. But after a missed cut, Greg, 1 in 6. So maybe just needs a kick in the butt. When are we going to see him next? I guess we're seeing him at the WGC in
probably
Florida
next week. Yeah. Of course that nobody knows anything about. Right. So yeah, that could happen. It could. I mean, he's got some stuff to work out, but he has that kind of ability and talent to flip the switch any given week and make all the naysayers look foolish. But I still have my concerns.
Saturday golf coverage will be on CBS at 3 p.m. Eastern time. You can stream it on CBS, CBS All Access, CBSSports.com, and the CBS Sports app. You certainly don't want to miss moving day, because I guarantee there's going to be movement one way or another. Looking forward to the rest of this. We'll pull up the odds here. It is Sam Burns, who is installed, of course, as the favorite to win the Genesis Invitational at +225. And this is the kind of the crazy part, Craig. Dustin Johnson's five shots back with two rounds to go. He's plus 250. They're basically the same odds, which yeah, like is Dustin Johnson 2.5 shots better per round than Sam Burns? Probably not, but I think it's hilarious. Joaquin Neiman at 9-1, Patrick Cantlay 12-1. I don't know if it's worth betting DJ at this point because he's 2.5-1. He's five shots back. But like, yeah. I mean, does anything on this board appeal to you at all?
Yeah, hopefully you already have some DJ stake earlier in the week. You hopefully, I mean, the guy can't like, I know that I, on my betting card, I have some DJ already, so I'm not going to go near it today, but I think you hit the heavy hitters, right? Patrick Cantlay. Those are great numbers. I'm Tony Finau seems to be making a move. I may throw that. Maybe this is like you were saying earlier in the week, Rick, this is Tony Finau's week. Maybe that chasing mentality on a tough course shines through. So I like that. Rahm, I think, is maybe a little too far back, dare I say. But Koepka would probably be as far back as I would go. So, those are kind of the guys that I'm really looking at. And if you wanted to get frisky, you could take a chance with a Jason Kokrak.
Here's the interesting thing. If Sam Burns does come back, I like a lot of these. I mean, if Sam Burns doesn't, it's over, right? So it doesn't matter. So looking at this, you know, the whole next group of golfers is at 7-under. Brooks Koepka's three shots back of 7. He's 25-1. I think we're going to get major championship like conditions over the course of the weekend. That's kind of interesting. I do like Tony Finau. Finau played great today, shot a 67 and had a pretty decent look at 18 to get to 5-under. He missed it, but he moved up 33 spots. He's 4-under. Again, this all assumes Sam Burns falls apart or Sam Burns comes back and it's just one guy who has to do that instead of asking for two or three guys for the wheels to fall off. So this week more than most, I think I like the, you know, 33, 40, like it's wide open if Sam Burns falls apart.
Right. And you have to kind of, it's not a disrespect to Sam Burns. It's what you just said, Rick. There's only one guy. And so if he wasn't there and everything was shifted to the 7-unders, how far back would you go? Would you go to a 2-under? I mean, maybe I'm crazy for saying John Rahm's a little too far back. It's just Rahm's at 2, right?
He's at 3.
Oh, he's at 3. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, a guy, if he's 4 back in theory, then John Rahm is, I mean, we said on this podcast at the BMW Championship when he was 6 back that he would get it done. So
yeah, we were here on a Friday night. He was 66-1 or whatever. You said, watch that John Rahm guy. He goes out, wins the golf tournament.
I think he was 150-1, Rick. He was six Maybe over. I think he was 6 over or something. Anyway, besides the point, is if you're going with away from Sam Burns, which you probably are, you got to picture this lead to be at 7-under. So I'm with you, Rick. A lot of these guys look quite appealing.
Real quick before we get out of here, there is a question in the chat about our fantasy teams. Who has a 6 of 6 this week? Who has a 6 of 6?
You got to take your lap. You got to take your lap. I was in your shoes back in my day. I remember, Rick, just a long time ago last week, Friday night, I knew I had it once. You're the only 6 of 6. That's impressive. Carlos Ortiz, me and Jacob.
Had to shoot a 69 to get in. He birdied, I think, 17 and had like a 2.5 footer on 18 for par to get through. And I was like, I was sweating bullets over here because he's not great on short putts. You know that. And I was nervous about it. But yeah, so we have our little CBS DFS league where I think there's 12 or 14 of us. I think it's winner. Is it winner take all, Greg? Is that how
it is? It is. It's okay. Cutthroat. It's tough.
Cutthroat, winner take all. I think I've got the only 6 of 6. Sia Nejad, I believe, at the halfway point is in the lead, but he has a missed cut with Luke List. So I think he's going to be falling off a bit. So we'll
at least Rick, we have, I think you, Sia's in first, you're in second. I'm in third. So we have our DFS are at least in the top. So
that's how it should be.
We're rooting for the show, right? We're rooting for the show.
Yeah. That's good for the brand. That's how it should be. Okay. So, and actually I guess Taylor Gooch is, Taylor Gooch, if he bogeys like his last three, I will not have a 6 of 6. So we'll have to keep an eye this victory lap. but that'll do it. We'll be back after Saturday's round, of course. Sunday's round, of course. That right there is Greg Ducharme, who you can find on Twitter at TheRealGFD. Producer Jacob doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Much appreciated. You can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.